Just after 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Smith and Jones on a Thursday afternoon and a very busy show coming at you over the course of the next 60 minutes. And we're going to dive into it very shortly here with an interview that we had a chance to conduct a little bit earlier. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do it live, but we certainly wanted to still do the interview and play it for you. So we will get to it in mere moments as we go one-on-one. I guess technically both of us chatting with Malachi Flynn, Raptors point guard, and the first-round selection for the Raptors this year in the draft just a couple of weeks ago. So Malachi Flynn coming up in mere moments. But also, if you've been following along on social media and on Twitter, or maybe even heard some of the comments that just came moments ago from Andrew Nye in the Sports Update, Pascal Siakam speaking from down in Tampa via a Zoom call. Everything obviously done via Zoom these days in the world we're living in, and especially with the Toronto Raptors doing everything from a distance, Jonesy, in Tampa back here to Toronto and to Raptor media around the world. And we're going to play a good chunk of those comments from Siakam in about 10 or 15 minutes time as well to make sure that folks have a chance to listen in on some of the thoughts and comments that came from Pascal. And a lot of things discussed. To me, one thing that certainly jumped out was his admission, and I like the fact that he was honest about it, that he thought that at least one of the two bigs would be back in either Gasol or Ibaka. He was a little bit surprised that at least one of them weren't back, but at the same time, certainly excited about the prospects of what Aaron Baines brings to the table, and Alex Len, for that matter, as well.
I've always, in his short time in the league, I've always found Pascal to be very, very candid. I mean, he's not, you know, he kind of plays, you know, he knows how to play the game with the media, but at the same time, he'll tell you stuff and he'll be honest. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he last year in the bubble when he wasn't playing well, he came out and said, "Hey, I got to play better. I got to do better." So, you know, the admission by him that he thought he was going to have one of those two teammates back, I take that as very candid. And, you know, okay, well, they're not though, but let's move on. And I think what you're kind of seeing there, and, you know, we heard it in the news conference with Fred. I think that's the Nick Nurse influence, Eric. Let's look for how we get through this. Let's get the team on the floor and get ready to play. And we don't linger, bemoan, ruminate on things that, you know, that you can't change. And, I think it's healthy. I think it's Nick's attitude. I think it's, you know, pervasive throughout the team, and you know, Pascal showing a little bit of that with his forthright chatter with the media.
All right, so again, we're going to play some of those comments for folks in about 10 or 15 minutes time. He's actually still speaking, or he was when we hit the air a couple of minutes ago, so just give us a chance to turn that around quickly for you folks, and we'll get to it in about 10 or 15 minutes time. But again, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we had a chance to chat with Raptors point guard and first-round selection from just a couple of weeks ago, Malachi Flynn, and let's take you to that interview right now again, our chat with Malachi Flynn.
Malachi, first of all, congratulations. I want to talk off court, though, before we talk about on court. And growing up one of seven siblings, how do you think that kind of formed you as a young man, let alone as a player, and then everything that kind of you bring to the table in terms of your upbringing, your work ethic, and everything that you would have had to fight through, I'm sure, as the youngest of seven?
Yeah, no, I think it helped me out in a lot of different ways. I think really just helped me become a competitor. Being one of the youngest, you got to fight for anything, your household, nothing's going to be given to you. So I think it just kind of instilled that attitude at a young age, and it's just carried me throughout my career.
How much, Malachi, are you bringing that to camp? I know you're a first round pick and there's guaranteed money, but we always say it's one thing to be drafted. It's something else to have a career. So how much are you bringing that attitude to camp? Because this is the highest level of play.
Yeah, you got to bring that attitude even more. I mean, nothing's guaranteed in this league. Even though you said it's a first round, I mean, stuff happens, and I want to stick around in the league. I don't want to just be here for a short time. So that attitude just has to take another step.
You know, I don't know if you can actually speak to this or not, because this is the only experience you've had, is what you've lived through these last couple of weeks. But based on what you thought might happen, if this ever happened for you, Malachi, being drafted, then making it to the league, in a normal world, in normal circumstances, this would have been late June. you would have had July for it to sink in, August, you know, you start doing some workouts, you start going to maybe some pre-draft camps, or sorry, pre-training camp, you know, mini workouts and whatnot. And then all of a sudden camp would hit late September, early October. This is like drafted and 2 weeks later, boom, the pro life begins. Have you had a chance to really just kind of sit and soak it in and really realize how fast and furious things are coming for you?
Yeah, a little bit, but we've definitely been on the go. The day after I got drafted, I was in L.A. with the team doing a little mini camp. So, I mean, it's been fast paced, but I'm just looking forward to it all.
Malachi, how much have you had a chance to get to know some of the guys? I mean, you think about it. This team won the title 2 years ago, and I'm sure you watched, like everybody else, the NBA championship and guys like Fred and Kyle and Pascal who were holding a trophy, and now you're teammates with these guys. How much have you already started to pick their brain and try to learn what's going on with the league, or are you just kind of, as a youngster, sitting back and taking it all in?
A little bit of both, definitely. I actually had a chance to work out with Fred and Kyle before I actually got drafted by the Raptors, which was pretty cool, just being able to work out with them and pick their mind a little bit. And then down in L.A., meeting more of the Raptors, and now here we are in Tampa, just meeting the whole team. So it's been good, but definitely a little bit of both, sitting back, but also picking people's brains.
I know you said in some of your other interviews, Malachi, that you maybe had a sense that Toronto was a possibility. They came and saw you work out in Vegas. You just mentioned those workouts with Fred and Kyle. But when did you get a sense that this might truly be coming together and there was going to be this marriage for you and the Raptors?
Yeah, I think after they came and watched me work out, the interest seemed very mutual. They expressed how much they were interested in me. And then a week later, the assistant coaches came out with Kyle and Fred, and I worked out with them. And then after that, it definitely felt like a real possibility, but nothing's guaranteed, like I said before. But on draft day, it happened, and it felt great.
Malachi, what are you looking forward to most in the league? As I said, three, four, 5 years ago, you're at home watching the NBA on TV, and, you know, you go through the whole process, you're drafted. What are you looking forward to most in the league? I mean, there's so much out there, and now you're a part of it.
Yeah, definitely. I would say just competing against the best in the world, honestly. I mean, day in, day out, there's no off games. There's going to be a superstar on the other team every time. So I'm just looking forward to going out and competing.
When you were a kid go ahead, Jonesy. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask, piggyback on that. Is there one player in particular you're looking forward to playing? Like Eric and I have been around for years, and we remember when Valanciunas was drafted, he looked forward to playing against Dwight Howard. And is there one guy in particular you're like, dang, I can't wait to get on the court with the big lights on and take this guy on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. At my position, guys like Chris Paul, Steph, Damian Lillard, and Kyrie, I think those four stand off just right at the top of my head. Those are the guys that I'm really looking forward to going against.
Well, I can tell we've been working together a long time, because that was almost the question I was going to ask. But let me take a different spin then, unless it's maybe the same answer. Growing up, I mean, I don't know the posters on the wall are what they used to be for when Jonesy and I were growing up in the you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. But who were the guys that you look up to as a young player saying, that's what I want to be, or that's how I model my game after? Are they some of those same guys you just mentioned in terms of wanting to face?
Yeah, they're definitely some of the same guys. Like I said, Chris Paul, Steph are definitely two of the main guys that I watched growing up. When I was real young, there was guys like Darren Williams, Kobe, obviously. He's not in my position. But Steve Nash, a variety of guys that I looked up to. But the people still in the league who've been around for a while, I would say those four that I mentioned earlier.
Malachi, what's been your biggest rookie experience now? I mean, I know some of the guys in that locker room, they're like, hey, Rook, I need some donuts or I need some food or whatever. Have you come across any of that yet? Just like, hey, you're one of us, but you're a Rook. Welcome to the league.
Honestly, not yet. I know it's coming at some point. But it's only been 2 days in Tampa, so I know it's coming at some point.
You know, I want to jump back for a second here, Malachi, to you know, some of the guys that you were mentioning. And Steph Curry specifically. We've seen him, obviously, here in Toronto growing up as a youngster and with his dad, Dell, and chasing Dell around with his brother, Seth, as well. And I know Jonesy knows the Currys that much more, you know, better than I do. But the way that he has changed the game, changed the position, you're a guy that a lot of people, when they talk about Malachi Flynn, they're talking about defense and they're talking about basketball IQ and all the intangibles. But what about what he's done at that position and how it's changed in terms of the range, the shot selection, and how that has just now filtered out to all of the positions in this sort of positionless age we're growing in, where you've got to be this multi-tool player and you've got to have, you know, 21, 23, 27, 29 foot range as a shooter as well.
Yeah, like you said, he's changed the game definitely. Just makes people increase their range like he did, and just how free he plays, where he shoots the ball from. I think when you watch young kids, you really see his influence on the game. Kids are shooting 30 footers now and 25 footers. So he definitely impacted the game.
Malachi, you're, let's say, a quote unquote small guard, and the Raptors have had success with Kyle and Fred and people like that, smaller guards. What is it about the attitude of smaller guards that allows them to be successful? Like, yeah, some of the guys you talked about even earlier, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, we're not talking 6'7", 6'8", guys that, you know, that can play different positions or hybrid. You're a guard and you're a smaller built guard. What is it that allows you to be successful?
I think for me, just having a tough mindset through it all. And then, like you said, guys like Kyle and Fred, just being with them, I know I'm going to be able to learn a lot more. But I think you definitely just have to have a tough mindset, because you've been small your whole life and you've had to find a way to overcome that.
Malachi, when you look at the situation you and the entire organization are in right now, I believe I heard you say on draft night or in the days afterwards that you haven't had a chance to come up to Canada yet in your life. Here you are drafted by the Raptors and your career is not going to start in Toronto. Do you have any sense? I know this is year one for you, so this is all you've known. Do you have any sense of just kind of the curveball that the Raptors have been thrown and how you guys may deal with this year, essentially having to play 72 or at least maybe only 36. We'll see if you maybe can get back to Toronto halfway through the season, but playing all of your games for all intents and purposes on the road.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm just going with the flow. Whatever comes. I know once we get to Toronto, it'll definitely be a great experience. I'm looking forward to that. But for now, we're in Tampa, and I'm just going along with it.
Malachi, how much are you looking forward to coming to Toronto? And I know you've seen it on TV, Jurassic Park. I'm sure once you talk to the guys, you'll hear about the fan base and, you know, having watched the championship, I'm sure that's in your mind too. How much are you looking forward to actually getting to Toronto?
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, through social media, through people telling me how good Toronto is, I've only heard good things, and I'm definitely looking forward to be out there. I've never been there, so for me, it's just going to be a whole new experience, but I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, and I think that the other thing, too, is San Diego State, the success that the Raptors have had with at least one guy from that place. And now, you know, you've got a chance to lay that foundation that much more, maybe, you know, solidify that and kind of write your own piece in history, I suppose, with this organization.
Yeah, that's definitely a goal for sure.
Hey, Malachi.
Go ahead, Jonesy.
Sorry, Malachi, we happened to be on the West Coast during your conference tournament. And I think Eric and I were in separate rooms in the hotel watching your conference tournament. You know, we talk about this experience. You did feel like you got kind of shortchanged a little, not being able. You guys were undefeated for a long time, didn't get a chance to go to the tournament, do your thing. How much do you look at that and say, you know what, this gives me a little bit more incentive. I got some making up to do when I get to the pros.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that game, it was a tough game, and we came out on the wrong side. So just looking forward to bounce back, being that was the last game. You're just definitely ready to move on and hopefully have a good NBA career.
Hey, Malachi, we appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this, and best of luck. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, there is Malachi Flynn, Raptors point guard selected 29th overall just a couple of weeks ago in the NBA draft, and already, boom, here he is right into his first NBA training camp down in Tampa with the Raptors as Toronto gets set for their first preseason game and, of course, the regular season starting across the NBA in less than 3 weeks on December 22nd. We can talk more about Malachi in a couple moments and maybe also give our thoughts and perspective on some of the comments that came from Pascal Siakam as well. So this was about 20-30 minutes ago. He literally just finished speaking about 10 minutes ago, so we wanted to turn it over for you quickly and give Raptor fans a chance to hear from All-Star Pascal Siakam.
Hey, Pascal, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Were you on the Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, or Nashville train there?
I mean, definitely Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No Nashville for you?
I mean, James, my brother, went to Vanderbilt. I mean, I don't think it would be bad to go to Nashville, but I was definitely on the Florida train.
All right. Hey, how much of the way last season ended for you impacted or fueled you this offseason?
I think for me, I mean, obviously not having the result that we wanted as a team, and then for me personally, not playing the way that I wanted to. And it's definitely, obviously for me, my summer is always off season. I just don't say that, but as I always focus on, you know, just going back and getting better and working on things and making sure that I come back a better player. And I think it was no different, but obviously with a little edge, knowing that we didn't get what we wanted as a team, and then myself, I didn't play the way that I wanted to. So I, you know, just a little bit more. And then I think for me, it was just kind of like the next step in terms of just having the crew of people that I put together that's going to focus just on me, and you know, from PT to strength and conditioning to nutritionist to, you know, chef. Like, I think, you know, this off season was probably the whole package for me. And just taking another step. Obviously, I've done those things in the past, but I think, you know, it was just on a different level, just having a whole group of people together, just focusing on me and making sure that we help me get to the next level. So I was super excited about it, and I thought it went well, and I'm super excited about, you know, the season and the future in general.
Did you spend any time trying to figure out why it went the way it went for you towards the end of last year, or did you was it just a case of get back in the gym and get to work?
Well, I think obviously, I mean, the world is crazy right now. I mean, there's so many different things that we all have to deal with as individuals, and you know, I think it was no different for me, just dealing with different things from, you know, the virus to you know, just all the things that are going on in the world, you know, family problems to, like, everything. It was just a lot of things, you know, just in place, and you know, I didn't feel like I was where I wanted to be physically and mentally, you know. So obviously you look at that and you want to look at, you know, everything else, but at the same time for me, it was just about getting right, like, making sure that I'm good mentally, making sure that I'm good, you know, like, and I think we worry a lot about sometimes, like, you know, it goes so fast. Like, we get into this life and there's this basketball every day, you know, there's problems here, and then, you know, we got a pandemic, we got all of this, and sometimes we forget to just, you know, kind of like relax and enjoy life. Or, like, something that I felt like, you know, like, I didn't, like, it was weird watching myself. Like, I think when I watched the game, one of the things that I really pointed out was just the fact that, you know, I didn't recognize myself in terms of just, like, having fun like that. Like, I'm always somebody that has fun playing the game, and I love this game, and I don't never want to be able to play the game without any joy, you know. And I think that's just something that I didn't see in myself, which is something that, you know, for me, I just want to have fun, man. I just want to be able to play the game, work hard, have fun, and I think that's something that I want to get back to. I looked at the games and things that I could have done better, but I think overall it's just, like, you know, getting right, man. Like, there's a lot of things going on in the world, and I think we all gotta kind of, you know, make sure that we get right. And for me, that was the main focus, just getting right. I'm in a good place right now. I feel happy, excited about the future, and you know, and I just feel like I have that joy again.
All right. Thanks, Pascal. Take care.
We'll head next to Eric Kareen with The Athletic. Eric.
Hey, Pascal. Welcome back. I approve of the hair growth. Looking good. When we talked to Kyle right after the Boston series, he said about you, you'll be fine. But when he was really criticized in the past, he would, like, try to consume everything and read everything. And he said that would sort of be his advice to you and use that to motivate you. Did you do any of that, or is that just Kyle and maybe that doesn't work for you?
I think we all deal with things differently. And for me, like, if I listen to people, like, I would never be where I am today. Like,
yeah.
I think it's something that, like, I've never done in my life. Like, if I listen to doubts or people telling me what I was supposed to be or what my ceiling was supposed to be or, you know, where I was, you know, coming into the league, what I was supposed to be, I was defying, like, by other people or telling me what, like, I never listened to that. Like, I'm not going to start today. Like, I've never paid attention to it. Obviously, I was disappointed. The fact that we didn't win, obviously, and then also the fact that I didn't play the way that I wanted to. And I don't think anybody could be more disappointed than I was. So, like, I don't think I listen to anybody. I don't really care, you know. I don't care, but it's just that, like, I know myself and I'm such a hard worker and I put so much into the game that obviously I know a lot of things went wrong and I wasn't excited about it. But I think for me, people talking about, you know, whatever, like, it don't really matter. Like, so I don't really pay attention to it. I don't put my energy or my focus to it. And one of the things that I said earlier is just, you know, I want to be happy and find that joy again of just playing and having fun. And I don't think me focusing on what people say is going to help me doing that. So I don't really focus on that.
Just a thought, unrelated. We've heard so many stories about your off-season training. Usually you could sort of map out an off-season. You know when you're going to be coming back and you know what's planned for the summer. This time you didn't really know when you guys were coming back until, I don't know, a month ago. I don't even remember now. So how were you able to sort of plan your off-season not knowing that, especially right. It seemed like you were going to be coming back in January and then they changed it to now?
Yeah, well, I think from like the way we planned it, obviously we were thinking about January. I mean, that's kind of like how we did it. But then, you know, one thing that we learned or one thing that I learned is that, you know, things change quickly, you know, in this new day and age. It's just like, I mean, things are going so fast and you never know. You got to be prepared for everything. And for me, it was just like we planned it to be like how it was. And then once we heard that it wasn't, you know, we adjust. Like, I think that's something that, you know, we all got to figure out how to do now, you know, just finding ways to adjust. And I think it went well for me, like just having the group of people that I had around me. Sometimes getting in the car with those people is just crazy to see the amount of people just focusing on me and making sure that I'm good and wanting to make me the best player that I can be. Like, I think we did an excellent job, like my team, my agent, all the people around me, just to make sure that we have everything that we need. And, you know, obviously we wanted to have more time, but that's 2020, man. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. You gotta expect anything and you got to just be ready and adjust.
Thanks, Pascal. Hope it's warmer today than yesterday.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
All right, appreciate it.
Heading now to Michael Grange with Sportsnet.
Hi, Pascal. Thanks for doing this. You know, when we talk about, we've talked in the past about you improving your game, is it ball handling, shooting, whatever, things like that. How much is becoming a star, a superstar, about learning how to do things off the floor, like you were talking about? You know, find the right nutritionist, find the right trainer, those kinds of things. Do we not really understand that side of it very well, or have you had to learn it as you go as well?
Right. I feel like I've always had it, you know, I knew a little bit. I think we all get better, man. We all try to improve. And for me, from where I came from, you know, to be at this level was a blessing. And I always want to continue to improve and get better, find things that I can do better to help me, you know, become the best player that I can be. And all those things you learn, you know, you learn on the fly, and I've always been able to do that. And this year, I put a, you know, extra focus on it, just making sure that, you know, I have everything, man. Like, from that is nothing outside of just, you know, the basketball, that I can look at everything and I know that I put everything, you know, like in my game, and I made sure that I was healthy, I eat the right things and you know, have a strength and conditioning person with me all the time, to make sure that I stay at my best and things like that. So, which is, you learn, man, you learn as you go. And I'm super excited, man. I'm super excited about how it's gonna help me and seeing the things that, you know, the little changes. And again, like you said, you know, you learn those things, you know, as you grow and your role kind of changes. You know, I mean, now I have to figure out a way to talk a little bit more with Serge gone. Serge was kind of like that voice for most of us sometimes. So I think just being a leader and different things that I have to continue to be better at.
Do you feel like being able to study Kyle, study Serge, be around Kawhi, have they been good role models for you? Like, do you feel like they've contributed to what you were just talking about?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, from, Kyle and Serge and all those guys, like, I mean, just for me, like, just seeing how many years they've been playing, I mean, like, that's amazing to me and something that you aspire to do. And also just, they always try to, kind of, like, get us together and things like that. So there's little things that I definitely would learn from them. Kawhi just always being level-headed and being the same at all time. And so there's I mean, DeMar, like, there's so many great people that was around that I feel like, I kind of learned from. And I think the relationship is always there, so you can always talk to them and reach out and figure out how you can be better.
There is Raptors All-Star Pascal Siakam. And Jonesy, lots to kind of dissect and digest from those comments right there. But right at the very end, it is kind of funny when it hits you and you think about the fact that here's a very young player who I just mentioned, an All-Star already in his career, a champion. And think about the guys that have already come and gone from this team.
Yes.
And from his life, from his career. DeMar DeRozan, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka. That's a lot to deal with in a very young career, and to know that, hey, you're being pushed into the spotlight that much more now.
If you can take all that in from those guys and understand how to kind of, compartmentalize it and grow from it, that's you just named off some serious teachers, not to mention, a teammate in Fred VanVleet, who he's come up through the ranks with, and maybe the guy who's looked at as the best all-time player in franchise history in Kyle Lowry. So the other thing that struck me about what Pascal said is when he watched himself and he saw the absence of joy, that is, that is so underrated, E, when you play a sport. And it's something that, my kids play at a high level, a different sport. They're varsity athletes, and we talk about it all the time. The four rules we always talked about in our household: play hard, give your best, play fair. Know the rules, play within them. Play together. It was a team sport. Hey, you might have a shot or something, but if a teammate's in a better position, sacrifice. And the last one was have fun. And like that one, we put it last, but we put it last so the kids would remember that. Have fun. I remember coaching kids in the 7th and 8th grade, and the game's tight, and I look and I say, okay, who'd rather be in math class right now? Oh, no way, sir. Come on. It's like, hey, isn't this great? Look at where we are and what we have a chance to, what you have a chance to do. And so when I heard that from him, it really struck a chord with me, because with everything that happened in 2020, and you go to the bubble and you get into the playoffs, we remember, E, going through that championship run with the team, how much fun the guys had, like watching them being at practices, and as the media, a surge grew and there were more people, and well, now it's the conference finals, and now it's the finals, and all these guys that were and women that were covering other series are now covering this series. But the Raptors, I think this comes from Nick, they always seem to embrace the moment and have fun. And, that was one of the things that I'm sure was a big deal for him to see, that he wasn't having fun, and I'm sure that impacted his play.
And I like the fact, Jonesy, as well, and it's kind of just, further emphasizing what you've just said, the self-awareness to realize, too, that, listen, I need to motivate myself. I don't need your motivation. It's not that I don't hear it. It's not that I don't necessarily understand its importance and whatnot, whether it's motivation from fans, from coaches, from management, from friends, from family, whoever it is. But I need to find the motivation, yeah. And I recognize that I need to be better, and not only need to be, I want to be, in addition to everything else that you just said.
It's
self-awareness coming from Pascal, I think, is outstanding.
Yeah, it's fun to be good, and it's fun to win. And you got to do some things to look after that and fulfill those, check those boxes.
All right, great way to start the show with Malachi Flynn and Pascal Siakam. When we come back, we will shift our attention to perhaps the biggest story in the NBA right now, the blockbuster trade that went down last night. Another Woj bomb came, and Adrian Wojnarowski sent out the news that Russell Westbrook had been dealt to the Washington Wizards for John Wall, and we will get the perspective from Washington, the new addition of Westbrook, and what Wall meant to that franchise for a decade when Wizards analyst Glenn Consor, will join us after the break on Smith & Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Back on Smith & Jones, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. We cleaned out our prize closet with the help of Jiffy and made mystery boxes that contain signed jerseys and more that you can win. It's the last day, folks, to collect keywords and text them to 590-590 with your name and city to enter. The last qualifier will be chosen during leadoff tomorrow morning, and they'll immediately win a $100 gift card to spend at Jiffy, fast and reliable home maintenance for less. Call in if you hear your name announced to qualify, and your next keyword will be announced after 4 p.m. today during Writer's Block. Full details at sportsnet.ca/590. Last night, blockbuster deal seemingly coming out of nowhere. Russell Westbrook sent from Houston to Washington as the Wizards send back to the Rockets John Wall and a first-round pick and a man that's been in D.C. for a decade, John Wall, now on the move, a fresh start with Houston, and another stop for Russell Westbrook to dig into all of it and to get the perspective of what this means specifically for Washington. We're pleased to be joined on the line right now by Washington Wizards color analyst Glenn Consor. Glenn, thanks for the time today.
It's great to hear your voices, guys.
Yeah, good to hear from you as well, Glenn, and hopefully you and the family are all safe and healthy. It's nice to chat with you. Glenn, first of all, did this hit you kind of, out of the blue like it did for so many of us as well?
Not really, because it was the type of thing where there was a buzz about it for quite a long time. Then it kind of died out. And when it died out, everybody thought, well, you know, we're not hearing much about it anymore. But we did hear, obviously, when it came out, hey, guys, I'm hearing a major echo. You want to try calling me right back? Hello?
Glenn? Maybe Eric's gone.
Can you call me back?
Yeah, we'll get the guys.
I can't hear. I'm hearing myself echo.
All right. Well, the guys behind the glass, Derek and Lance and whoever might be back there can jump on that. And the gremlins have hit Eric. So
no, I'm still here as well, Jonesy. I'm still here as well.
Okay.
So
yeah. Were you getting the echo too?
I was getting it as well, so it might have been screwing us off, I suppose. So
I was clean. The gremlins were working for me for once.
Yeah, you're usually the one that's guilty of having the issues on your end. So who knows? But we'll get a clean line with Glenn back in a second, and he we'll get his perspective in a moment, Jonesy. But what he was kind of getting at is we did hear the rumblings about a potential deal back in the summertime, but because of the fact that they had quieted, and maybe because camps were opening and the season's 3 weeks away, I guess I was guilty of assuming, well, it's not happening. Things are kind of as is.
Calm before the storm.
Yeah, I suppose.
Calm before the stormy, and that's what happens. Like, deals start, and then people walk away. It's like negotiating buying a house or a car or, you know, a pair of boots or whatever. Yeah, no, I don't want that. It's too much, whatever. And you walk away, and then somebody reapproaches and says, well, how about we do this? And all of a sudden, the talks start up again. So I can see this happening. And when we get Glenn back, I want to ask him about John Wall. I mean, he put a lot of time into the community in D.C., but he hadn't played in 2 years. And Bradley Beal really came to the forefront. So I'd love to know what, you know, Glenn thinks about that. And plus, Russell Westbrook's going to be reunited with a guy who made him an MVP in Scott mm-hmm. Brooks. So, you know, or helped shape him to be an MVP in Scott Brooks. So it'll be interesting to hear Glenn's take on that.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of layers to this, Jonesy, as you just laid out. The fact that it's not just your usual trade where fresh start for both guys. As you just mentioned, the fact that you've now got the reunion for Westbrook and Brooks. I think that's very intriguing to think about Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal together. That's a potent combo, Jonesy. And for all the talk that we've had in recent days and recent weeks about the Eastern Conference and kind of the parity that seems to exist with a lot of teams and the lack of separation between, you know, 2 and 6 or 2 and 7, I'm not sure if this trade suddenly pushes Washington right there into the conversation, but I'm also not sure that it doesn't, because they got a heck of a lot of talent in that 1-2 punch, let alone some of the other pieces that are coming up in young players that they've surrounded Beal with over the last couple of seasons.
I agree. And as I said, Beal has... without Wall, he's taken to the forefront. He's become the leader of that team, ball handling, scoring. It'll be interesting to see how Scott Brooks is able to integrate Russell Westbrook, because Russ had the ball in his hands all the time in Oklahoma City. He did, and he was the undisputed leader. Or guy who had the ball in his hands on that team. It's going to be different here, and it's going to be a challenge for Scott Brooks. But here's the one thing I'll say. I mean, you know, people are looking at who won the trade. I don't know who won the trade. That's yet to be seen. It's a fresh start for John Wall. It sounded like he wasn't thrilled about kind of sharing it with Bradley Beal. He got upset when guys were making the comment, "Everybody eats," because he had the ball, it seemed like, so much. But I'll tell you what about Russell Westbrook, E. You may disagree with the way he plays and some of the shots he takes, but I'll tell you this. On the floor, E, he plays hard.
Oh,
you'll never
time.
Get me saying, yep. You'll never get me saying, "Oh, Russ didn't bring it tonight."
Yep.
Oh, he brings it. He brings it. He might not bring it the way you want or do what you want, but he's in there.
I completely, completely agree with you. And we'll bring Glenn Consor back into the conversation now, Washington Wizards analyst. Glenn, hopefully we worked out the gremlins and we got a clean line here. I was asking off the top about just any surprise, and I know you were kind of partially into your answer about how we had heard some rumblings of a potential deal back in the summertime.
Yeah, you know, there were rumblings. Look, you know, if you think about it, you got two contracts that were almost impossible to trade. And, you know, word got out that, you know, John wasn't, you know, would not mind the trade. And then, you know, we also got word that Russell Westbrook wouldn't mind a trade. And lo and behold, they got it done. And I think it just might be a good fit for both teams. And I could share that with you in shortly.
Glenn, when I look at it, maybe John needed a fresh start. You know, sometimes it just doesn't happen. And I know he put a lot of time into the community off the floor as well. And people liked what he did there. And with him being out for that time, Bradley really rose to the forefront and really kind of took the leadership mantle. Do you think John kind of looked and said, "Well, you know what? I'm not going to be able to come back and have it the way I wanted or do..." Things have changed, so maybe it's a good time for me to move on?
Yeah, possibly. You know, you're 100% right. You know, what John has done in the community here with his multiple charities has been really unparalleled. Brad has too, but I think what we saw with John out for 2 years is Bradley not only carried the role of you know, the go-to guy on the court from an X and O standpoint, but he also carried the role from a character standpoint and a leader, you know, by exemplifying the work ethic that he wanted. You know, he backed his players, he backed his teammates. You know, I think that, you know, maybe John looked at it like, I don't know, I just maybe want another start. But I could tell you one thing, he did look really good, you know, before he got traded yesterday. His body looks great. I just think that, you know, sometimes teams need a culture change. And I think what's happening with the Wizards right now is that change is happening. It's happening in front of our eyes with Brad taking over the leadership. Brad's not polarizing. Brad is transparent. He's willing to listen. He tries to play to win. I think Russell Westbrook is the type of guy that will bring it every game. And, you know, I'm not sure you could say the same for John. I mean, especially being out for 2 years, you know, there were rumblings that, you know, they can't play back-to-back, and, you know, there was concerns about that, and nobody really knows. But we hope that he comes back, you know, 1,000% to his game. But, you know, it was time for a culture change. We have a lot of good young players, and you want to make sure they get off on the right start.
Speaking with Wizards analyst Glenn Consor. Glenn, let me ask you, when we look at – Let me ask you off the floor before we go back to on floor. When we look at off the floor, talk to me a little bit about what John Wall meant to the community. And I saw the post that he put up a little bit earlier, the skinny 19-year-old kid that came with big dreams, and here he is now a decade later. His impact within the D.C. community and whatnot, how will that be sort of missed as the Wizards move forward?
You know, I don't think he's ever going to be forgotten. But as you guys know, because he's done so much, I mean, his charities, you know, and I've helped him with his charities, you know, they're heartfelt. You know, he truly does believe in helping others with all his different charities, from backpacks to, you know, feeding the front line. It's just a myriad of different charities. That being said, this organization wants to win, and I think winning is the elixir for everything. You know, when you start winning, you forget about, you don't forget, but, you know, you move on. And if the Wizards have an opportunity to win with Russell Westbrook, things, you know, with John, when he was playing and when he wasn't playing, it just wasn't working. So now's an opportunity for the organization to move into a different direction. Maybe it's not the right direction. Maybe it is. I think it is, because I think the work ethic that Westbrook has is going to be, you know, it's going to be much needed with the younger players. I think Brad's going to be comfortable with it. All the rumblings you heard with Brad and John, you know, that was not accurate.
Interesting. Glenn, you know, and wasn't just maybe a week or 10 days ago, Tommy Shepard came out and said, like, you know, I've got a good relationship with John and, you know, we're not trading him. And maybe that threw some more water on the fire before it all. But I know that Tommy Shepard, the type of guy that he is, consulted with Scott Brooks on this. And with them knowing that Russell Westbrook had success with Scott, and, you know, trusting him with the team, that had to be part of it. Okay, well, maybe we don't want to trade John, but hey, if we can get better, maybe we'll pull the trigger on a deal. And people talk so much about John and what he's going to give to Houston, but as you said, Russ is going to bring some serious stuff back to the D.C. area.
I think he's going to bring different stuff, you know, and I think you're right. You know, in Tommy obviously consulting with Scott Brooks on this, but I don't think this deal would have happened if the owners didn't bless it. So, you know, I think Ted and his organization and his upper echelon group, you know, were blessed it, you know, or else it would not have gone through. So, you know, I think that change is good. You know, with look what's going on in the NBA now. Teams are making moves. You know, we as broadcasters, we don't even know yet who's where. We got to do our boards all over again, and everybody's bouncing around, and it's still not over. That being said, you know, change is good, you know, and I think, you know, from John's standpoint, he has an opportunity to play with James Harden. If they're not moving James Harden, there's all kinds of still rumors about that. Think about what you got there now. You got two ball-dominant guards that hold the ball for 20 seconds. How's that going to play out? I don't know. You know, Russell Westbrook found a way to play with James Harden. But James Harden, it's just who he is. I mean, he might be one of the greatest scorers that the three of us have ever seen. But he's ball-dominant. And, you know, so is John. So I think, you know, it's going to work out for them as well. I think they'll find a way. But I think change is good, and I think this also was more of a culture change than a player personnel change. I think they wanted to just go into a different direction from a work ethic standpoint. You know, they just wanted something different in their star player.
Hey, Glenn, the Gremlins got into the phone lines with us a little bit earlier, so we unfortunately lost some time. We're up against a break. We've got to fly, but hopefully we can get you back in a few weeks. Maybe once we've seen the Wizards on the floor in a couple of preseason games or maybe even into the regular season, we'll get you back and we'll break down this deal even more and kind of take a look at the season ahead, because I'm very intrigued now by Washington and where they kind of sit now in that sort of muddled mess of the Eastern Conference, where there doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of separation between at least five, if not eight, teams in the East.
A lot of parity there, guys, and you know, the East is now a beast, man. It used to be looked down, frowned upon, you know, as a strength conference, but now it's different. You got some good teams. We'll see.
Hey, Glenn, thanks for the time today.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you, guys. Thanks.
There is Washington Wizards color analyst Glenn Consorn, and we will definitely get him back on the show and hopefully get a chance to chat with him a little bit longer. But the Wizards, after the big deal they pull off acquiring Russell Westbrook. We'll take the break and come back with more Smith & Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Back on Smith & Jones, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. About a minute left here before we turn it over to Writer's Block. And Jonesy, let's maybe finish where we were just ending things with Glenn Consorn as well. It really is going to be interesting to see how the East plays out this year. You know, as Glenn just said, the East is now a beast. It truly is when you think about how many teams could legitimately put themselves in the conversation.
Yeah, and you know, and it just keeps getting stronger and stronger. Like you make these moves, and you know, teams jockeying for position. Like it's going to be. There will be very few nights off in the East this year, so it'll be interesting to see how it shakes down. And you know, people talk about how strong the West is. The East is right there.
Thanks to Malachi Flynn for joining us today. Also, Glenn Consorn, and we were glad to bring you some comments from Pascal Siakam as well. We're back again tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern with more Smith & Jones on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.